Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Red Sox able to shake off any shock over the Rafael Devers trade and win that game last night. And we are about to talk about that with Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Front office report is brought to you this week by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. Hey, Craig.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I have to have a wisdom tooth pulled at 1 p.m. today. Would you prefer that or this interview right now?
can I let you know at the end of it?
Yes, you can. I watched intently last night. You guys answered a lot of questions. I think best service we can provide this morning is based on talking to the fans and interacting with them here on this show the last couple days, answer some of their questions. I think the first one and the most popular one is the timing of this and why you would do this deal now as opposed to closer to the trade deadline or end of the season when you may have been able to get more value.
Yeah, very, very fair question. And, based on the conversations that I had had with San Francisco, but also some of the conversations that I'd had with other teams, felt like this was the right decision at the right time, knowing that it was not ideal timing, especially coming off a huge series with New York. But we had to decouple those things and recognize that we were really playing well. And as difficult as it is to do something like this in the middle of that streak, still felt like it was what was best for the organization, and felt like this was something that we had to do, and waiting would introduce some risks that didn't make sense.
Sam Kennedy alluded to a timeline of a week and a half or so. Was there a particular tipping point that made it necessary to do this deal now? Was there something that occurred?
There was not a single event that we walked away from thinking, okay, this situation needs a resolution today. And this was not personal. I think what this was just the chance to zoom out a little bit and kind of replay all of the events that got us to here, and recognize that our paths had diverged, and what was best for the organization and probably what was best for Rafi was to give both sides a fresh start. We had the chance to do that with this deal, the opportunity to get back some guys that we think are going to impact our big league team in areas of need, in the short term, Hicks when he gets healthy, Harrison. We wanted to introduce a couple of development opportunities and give him a chance to work on those things, but feel like he's gonna be a really good starter for us, and then some future talent. But to answer the question, it wasn't a single event, it wasn't a single conversation. It was just recognizing that this was for the best over time.
Craig, sticking with the timing of this all going down, we have been made aware that Liverpool is spending a lot of money right now. I think $150 million last week. Obviously, John Henry's connection there has some people scratching their heads. What would you say to those that may be making connections with you guys offloading Devers' contract, the money that you were to owe him there, and the money that is now being spent at Liverpool?
Yeah, that's not just a stretch. It's just completely untrue. In none of the conversations that I have with John, with ownership about our resources is, the financial implications or situations of any of the other teams a topic. The Red Sox are run independently of any of those other organizations, and the timing here was just a matter of lining up on getting the right players back and finding the right situation that represented a trade that we needed to make.
You said last night that when it came to identity, culture, and environment, something you had identified that something was amiss with this team. And so was Devers what created that something being amiss with this team?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to place the responsibility or blame or accountability on any individual. I think it's just looking at the team and looking at some of the really strong individual performances that we were getting. Rafi at the top of that list, and then also at the same time acknowledging that we weren't winning as many games as we should win. And when teams have this strong bond and identity and kind of sense of purpose and clarity, that's when you see them accomplish more than you think they would as a group of individuals. And we weren't doing that. And I think that's something that falls on all of us to correct, and felt like this was an opportunity to help push us in that direction.
But you clearly said that stepping up for each other is important for this team. So the assumption is that Rafi not being willing to do that was an issue.
I think stepping up for the team is a foundational piece of being a great team. And, I'm not going to put the responsibility on any one individual. And I certainly share, my role and my blame in this. I think it's more just acknowledging that we got to a point where it was best to give each side a fresh start. And we feel like this is what that represents.
Craig, as a former athlete, I've been in the situation where we traded away our best player. And generally, it's two reasons. One, it's money. And Devers obviously has his money. And the other one is buying into the culture and being a big influence in that clubhouse that maybe he could get into the ears of some of the younger guys. Is that really part of the reasoning why? And if he would have bought into the culture, would he still be here today?
Yeah, I don't know the right answer to that. I know that Rafi was a really important part of this organization for a really long time, and most of that time predates me, but he was a World Series champion, an incredible hitter, and the performance on the field has largely spoken for itself. Now we're at a different moment in time where the needs of our team, the needs of our roster have changed, and the environment that we want to create is one where there is this accountability and buying into, stepping up for each other. And we feel like it was best to execute this trade to get players back that we like, and to give both sides the chance to reset a bit.
Craig, there's a report out of Baseball America. Jeff Pontes, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing his last name, said on the Foul Territory podcast that there was a deal that was vetoed that was made by the organization because the Red Sox had to take on some of Devers' money. Is that accurate?
No. When I read that, I was as surprised as anybody else would have been, who had no idea that this was a thing or had happened. Absolutely not true.
And, but go ahead.
Oh, no, just, but you did, how many other teams did you speak to, would you guess?
Without putting a number on it, we have spoken to teams that had expressed, interest in Rafi, I think, because so much of what has happened here over the last 6 months or so has been pretty public. There have been teams that have reached out throughout this process. But this was about, if there was going to be a trade that took place and one that rose to the level of feeling like it was best for the organization, we were going to hold a high bar, and the opportunity to make the trade with San Francisco is the one that we chose.
Craig, you said earlier when we were talking about the Crochet 85 pitches about the managerial role and Cora's role of synthesizing information and managing egos as the manager of this team. In hindsight, do you think you stepped on his toes a bit when it comes to Devers? It felt to me that Alex knew how sensitive this was, and there was really an issue that became personal between you and Devers. Is that an accurate depiction of what happened?
So the first thing I would want to say is, at least from my perspective, this is not personal. I have nothing personal against Rafi and have a ton of respect and appreciation for what he is capable of doing as a baseball player and who he is as a man. Now, in terms of the way that things played out and whether there was a better way to communicate, I think the answer is yes, just given where we are and how we got here. But I would hope that Alex doesn't feel like I stepped on his toes. Did we know that this was a sensitive topic? Like, yes, based on how some of the previous conversations had gone. I said this last night, the commitment that I made to the organization, to the team, to our fans is to not avoid having a conversation that might be really difficult because it would be sensitive or because it had the chance to go sideways. We felt like there was, there was an opportunity to improve the team by approaching Rafi with the possibility of, getting some work at a new position. And so I felt like I needed to do that. I think in retrospect, it's a conversation that did need to happen. But if there was a better way to have it, which I think is becoming clear, then that's something I need to appreciate and reflect on and make sure I do better.
For those fans, and there are a lot of them who feel like this move was just about dumping salary, can you commit to spending that money elsewhere to improve the team?
That's the intention, and I understand the fans' criticism and even outrage over this, but in no way is this signaling that we don't believe in our 2025 team. And that was a conversation that I had with a majority of the players yesterday on a one-on-one basis, was making sure that these guys understood that we went into this season believing that we were capable of a deep postseason run, and that has not changed at all. We brought back some pieces that we feel like could address areas of need, and we have resources now to continue to look to improve and upgrade the team as we approach the deadline.
But you're 19th in salary now, and you're charging top two or three to go to a game to consume the Red Sox is as expensive as any market in baseball, basically. And for years now, we've been told we're building to a certain point. This spring training, we spoke to you at JetBlue. The vibes changed. Everybody's excited. There's finally a team to compete. And then you trade the best player on June 16th or June 15th. What should Sox fans feel about the true investment financially of this organization?
No, I understand and empathize with that position. My job is to put a team on the field that holds up to upholds the standard that our fans expect, and that is one that's capable of winning the division, that's capable of making a deep postseason run. That is what our baseball operations group and our coaching staff is committed to, and what we are intent on accomplishing. My hope is that if this team continues to play the way that we have over the last week and a half or so, and we can continue to make progress and climb up the standings, then it's a team that our fans will be proud of. But I have a pretty clear understanding of what the expectations are of our fan base, and our job is to deliver on that.
Craig, from the outside looking in, it looks like this thing kind of went sour right before spring training and the offseason. Would you say, because you said there were some things you would have done differently, at any point in time, was Devers told that he would have an opportunity to be the opening day starter at third base, whether that was from you or Cora, that might have led him to believe that he would have a realistic chance to play third base, which ultimately led to kind of where we are right now?
I think at this point, it really is best to keep some of the details of a number of conversations that took place between Raffy and Alex and me and Raffy's agents, to ourselves, given where we are, given that, we are fully focused on looking forward and continuing to play.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good baseball, and Raffy is in San Francisco and starting the next chapter of his career. But the thing I will say is I reflect on those conversations and our decisions and approach to them every day, so that if there's a similar situation that arises, I hope I'm better equipped to handle it in a way that it doesn't get us to this point.
Craig, if you don't want to talk about that, there were some rumors that maybe back in spring training was when you guys started shopping him around because you didn't like how he handled that, or that even Devers himself asked for a trade. Could you clarify that? Because I know now we're saying that things came to a head a week and a half ago, but there are reports out there that it was back in spring training when you guys decided that you were going to part ways.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think I would say that at any point we shopped Raffy Devers. He's not the type of player that you shop around. Because some of these discussions became so public, I think the discussions between Raffy and the organization became so public, there are teams that check in to ask what our plan is. And there were a couple of instances over the past 8 months or so when Raffy's camp has signaled that a fresh start somewhere else might be best for both sides. And ultimately, this is where some of those conversations led to. But again, this is not personal. This is not the Boston Red Sox versus Raffy Devers. Raffy's has been an incredibly meaningful piece of this organization for a really long time and a World Series champion. This is about trying to do what we believe to be is best for the organization from this day forward. And I think we've outlined that pretty explicitly.
Craig, you noted several times about things not getting personal. June Lee is reporting today that things have gotten increasingly insulated with you at Fenway Park. In his story, he cites multiple sources within the organization that describe a front office losing cohesion. Staffers who helped build four championship teams and prior administrations have felt shut out of the operation, and that you fired the scouting supervisor, an employee since 2017, because he left his Zoom up and swore about your presentation. Can you comment on this? Is this accurate? Have you become more insulated? Have you sort of blocked out staffers with other administrations? And is that an accurate story about the scout being fired for the comments with the Zoom?
Yeah, well, I think working backwards there, the scout situation, not something I'm going to comment on. But the first piece, if I or the front office has become increasingly insulated, that's absolutely not the direction that we are trying to head. What I will say is, over the last year and a half since I got here, I have spent quite a bit of time trying to understand our operation, our people, the way that we are set up. We've grown significantly in size over the last several years, and I think in some ways it had maybe removed or detached some of our people from what was happening on the field, and anchoring all of the work that we do to what's happening on the field at Fenway Park and the wins and losses of the team is something that's critically important to me. And I feel like my job is to strike the right balance of people who have been here for a really long time and have contributed meaningful value to, the four World Series championship teams under this ownership group, and also recognize, balance that with the fact that we're where we are. I am here because the results on the field have not been good enough for the last several years. And so to continue to do exactly what we had done in the way that we had done it, I think would be a recipe for continued disappointment and frustration from our fans and from the organization. We needed to make sure that we were operating in a way that was going to get us back to the top of the AL East and to the top of baseball. And that required some difficult choices and some change, but never a deliberate decision to insulate or push people away, but rather a very intentional effort to preserve all of the things that make the Boston Red Sox great and improve the things that needed to be improved upon relative to the rest of the industry.
Well, for what it's worth, I don't feel like you're a stiff. I feel like you can let loose if the situation calls for it.
So thank you. I do appreciate that. I appreciate that.
And we love Duran.
And Wiggy loves Duran.
So ease, we're worried about him potentially being gone. So
we love Jaron too, and love what he brings on and off the field. I think there's an athleticism and a dynamic nature to his play that really does set the stage for our offense. I think we've seen that, when he is getting on base, when he's creating chaos on the bases, we're a very, very different team. And then, it's been really neat to see him emerge as a leader in the clubhouse create a great environment for the young guys. And he's a guy who's going to play as hard as he can every single day. So we love him too, and we're glad he's here.
Appreciate taking the time and being here for it. And we will talk to you again soon. Next front office report, Craig Breslow. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That is Craig Breslow. We'll have time to go over Nuggets before we get out of here next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.